Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. And in the digital world, I'm at Meghna WBUR on Twitter. But even before that, I was mchakrab at WBUR.org. That's my email address. And, you know, when you think about it, our email addresses, they're probably just as important as our physical addresses. To borrow from the great William Carlos Williams, so much depends upon that little at symbol.
Yeah, well, it certainly wasn't an icon back in 1971, but it was a key on the keyboard that did not appear in users' names, not appear in host names. It made sense. It's a preposition. It means user at host. It is the only preposition on the keyboard.
Well, that is Ray Tomlinson. Back in 1971, the Massachusetts engineer picked the at symbol to connect a username to a destination server. He's widely credited for inventing email, still one of the most important forms of digital communication on Earth. Well, Ray Tomlinson died this weekend. He was 74 years old. Harry Forsdick knew Tomlinson well. He's a consultant at Lexington Digital now, and he joins us to remember this digital pioneer. Harry, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much.
I'm so sorry it has to be under these circumstances to remember Ray in his passing. But you knew Ray Tomlinson back when you were both working at Bolt, Beranek and Newman, the company that hired him in 1967. And we'll talk a little bit more about the importance of the company in a second. But tell us about Ray. What was he like?
Well, Ray was, first of all, very quiet, which is unusual for people these days. They tend to toot their own horn. Ray never did. And he was very smart, went to MIT, went to Rensselaer Polytech, very humorous, and very modest about his accomplishments. He was not the person in his native state. He got encouraged to do it later on, but normally he was not really a very much of a self-promoter.
Yeah. Did you know him around the time when he picked the at symbol?
No, I didn't, okay. Unfortunately. I was a little younger than he was, and I was still at MIT then, but I came to BBN about 2 years after the at sign was chosen. But
Still in the very earliest days of email. Oh, yeah. Did he ever talk to you about it?
Yeah, okay. I've kept... I've known him since about 1973, so, and we had up until recently a Saturday morning, once a month, Saturday morning coffee session with a couple of other BBNers, ex-BBNers. And we once asked him, emails, was terrific and everything. You did some great. Was there anything you regretted about what you could have done with email? And he thought for a second and he said, yeah. I would have made it impossible for people to spoof or not be authentic in who they were send email, because he was so upset by the amount of spam that, 90% of the email traffic that went across the wires was spam, and he hated that. It just bothered him emotionally. And so he really wished he had been able to put that into the protocol.
Well, we're not going to yoke his legacy with the man who made it easy for the world to get spammed on email, because, one never knows what one's creation is going to turn into. But,
right.
But as I mentioned earlier, email is still one of the most important digital forms of communication human beings have today. I mean, can you explain to us a little bit more specifically? I mean, we're focused on the at symbol here, but what was it that Ray Tomlinson actually did that makes a lot of people credit him as being one of the inventors of email?
It's actually curious. I mean, there is one thing that he can point to, which is the at sign. And no one else can claim that they chose that the at sign. And it starts from there. But in fact, email, interpersonal email, had been around on a single computer for a while, long before this. But what Ray did was he put a network in between two computers and allowed people at computer A to compose a message on that computer and for that computer to transmit it to computer B.
So across a network.
Across the network, across the country, across the world. And that was the key innovation that he introduced into the email equation. And then it took off, and it is, in fact, the same structure that we use today for email. It's done exactly the same. It's a little bit more complex. The protocols are a little bit more complex, but the basic idea is still the same. One host transmitting through the internet now to another host and then delivering it to the user.
Okay, so you say the internet now, because back in 1971, it wasn't the internet.
That's
it
right.
It was ARPANET.
It's the ARPANET, Advanced Research Projects Agency, the Defense Department. And they were the ones who sponsored all the initial work. And that was the first effort. It started in the universities. BBN, Bull Brannick and Newman, developed the hardware to make the first ARPANET possible and was involved in all of the protocol software development. Mm. And there came a time when that we outgrew that system, and a couple of people in the academia invented a better way of doing it.
Okay.
And that's what's known as TCP/IP, and that's what people like Vince Cerf and Bob Kahn were associated with.
Yeah, so now we're getting into acronyms that people might be a little more familiar with, right?
Right.
But I want to play another little piece of tape from a 2009 interview that Ray Tomlinson himself gave to NPR, because, you know, in it he describes in his words, and you'll hear it's wonderfully humble and soft-spoken as you described him being, about what sort of turned the light bulb on in his head when he wanted to tackle this communication problem that turned into email. Here he is.
Well, in 1971, I was busily trying to find things to use this newfangled network for. And I heard about a proposal to send messages to be printed with a printer and stuffed away in mailboxes for people to read. And I said, these messages should go to computers. And so I thought about it for a bit and then decided to put together a system that might do that.
You're smiling. You have a huge smile.
Oh, that's so typical of Ray. You know, he would, you know, see something that was being improperly used and knew how to do it on a computer much, much better.
Yeah.
And he just went and did it. And like most inventors, you don't ask, can I do this, of your boss. You go ahead and do it, and then you pull a rabbit out of a hat and say, hey, look at this.
It's email. I mean, that piece of tape is so amazing to me, right? Because he says, well, people had an idea to print stuff out. Why not just send it directly to the next machine or the machine on another side of the network? When he describes it that way, of course you say, well, no duh. But it took a mind like his to see that solution when people didn't even realize that was a possibility.
Sure. There were many other instances of Ray's mind working that way, where, you know, doing things electronically that formerly you had to use other mechanisms for, including one that he and I worked on called the World Band, where we had DOD schools around the world collaborating together on a synchronized musical performance. So giving the kids in the DOD school system an opportunity to experience what it's like to be in a big band by playing instruments and then using the magic of computers to deal with the delays that happen. And Ray was the key to making that happen.
Yeah.
And it was just one example of many different really clever things that he did.
Well, let me ask you one last question here, because I was looking at Ray's biography on the Internet Hall of Fame, because he's an inductee, of course. It says there that Tomlinson's email program brought about a complete revolution, fundamentally changing the way people communicate, including the way businesses from huge corporations to tiny mom-and-pop shops operate and the way millions of people basically live their lives. Email remains the most popular application, with over 1.5 billion users spanning the globe and communicating across traditional barriers of time and space. Now, all these years later, that remains true. Why do you think email still is such a powerful form of communication, even in the age of social media, Facebook, and whatnot?
I think actually one of the reasons is that it's still very, very simple. It's still based upon a character code that you can type on your keyboard. Even the protocols are expressed that way. In other words, there's no binary stuff. It's all done in the open. And things are able to be easily built on top of email as a result of that. Now there are much more exotic emails around now, but the basic fundamental structures and the communication architecture is pretty much the same as it was, you know, within 10 years of when he invented it. And I think it's always been the sort of, you can always fall back and use email and it will work and it will, you know, may be some delays and it, you know, it may be filled with spam, but you can deal with that kind of stuff. You have filters for that.
Yeah.
And the fact that it is just a very easy thing to get your head around is once you make that separation between two computers and the network, that's really where you're, where the innovation is.
Well, the most simple solutions are always the most elegant, aren't they?
Yeah.
And the timeless ones. Well, Harry Forsdyk is a consultant at Lexington Digital. He was a longtime friend of Ray Tomlinson. He's here to help us remember Tomlinson, who died this weekend. Harry, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for letting me talk about Ray.
You know, we should mention that, of course, Ray went to MIT. He was an engineer at Bolt, Beranek, and Newman, and then later on at Raytheon, when Raytheon bought BBN. They, too, are mourning his passing. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. There's much more ahead in just a minute. This is Radio Boston.